I'd like for us to listen to a conversation that I had.
I got saved when I was 36. I wanted to be saved so bad, and I cried and cried, and I didn't believe I was saved. I don't know why other people can go to the Lord and get saved, and they feel like a ton of bricks went off their shoulders. But when I went up to be saved, I got depressed. All these thoughts come to my mind that I'm no good, and I don't know why it would be that way. I could only think of when my husband and I divorced. I was a good mother, and he had gotten saved back when I was pregnant with my second baby. We were happy together. We got along well. But when he got saved, our lives were different, of course. He started going to church more, and I didn't go. After a while, our relationship went bad. We didn't fight or anything, but there was no attention, and I kept wanting to get the attention from him, conversations with him. I was a lot more immature than him. And then when we were married, I had committed adultery. Mm-hmm. He was going to church. And I was just lonely. Somebody else comes by. And I was trying to reach out to my husband at the time, too.
Did he get the divorce, or did you get the divorce?
He took me to the lawyer's office to file the divorce. But then a month after our divorce, he got remarried to the pastor's daughter. And hope was just drained when he got remarried a month after our divorce. Mm-hmm. It happened 15 years ago. Now our children are in college. But, you know, he always blamed me whenever anything went wrong with the kids. Thankfully, all of our children are serving the Lord.
Okay, what do you think she's feeling? What are you hearing? Or what would you be feeling?
Worthless.
Worthless. What?
Betrayed. Mm-hmm. What?
Betrayed. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Betrayed because... Mm-hmm.
Because he probably wanted the divorce long before the adultery. He wanted to marry the pastor's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm even a little confused because it sounds like she kind of thought she was at fault, but then it ends up he's kind of there with her in the midst of it, getting the divorce.
Yeah, confused. Well, she knows that she was wrong with the adultery, and yet certainly this is strange for her to get married so quickly. What does it appear really happened here?
It appears like he'd shut her out and was just waiting for the adultery so he could have a reason to divorce her and still look right in the church's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Especially taking her down to the lawyer.
Yes, yes. It sounds very calculated, and therefore she could really feel worthless. When you at times are talking with someone, let me just tell you one of the things that I frequently do. I could just keep listening to a conversation or asking her questions, but it'd be better for me to find out what is the reason for her call, as opposed to just listening to stories. I kind of used to just kind of listen and listen, but finally I learned to say, what is your question for me? So I'm just saying that when you're talking with somebody, you might need to help them out and just say, what is your question for me?
And so your question for me is?
I have been going to a certain church, and now they're going.
Yes. You mean your ex-husband?
No.
And his wife?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm still holding on to a lot of resentment. I don't know whether I should stay there. Would it be healthy for me to leave the church?
Okay. What do you think? Leave the church or stay at the church?
Say leave that church if that's where the ex-husband and the pastor's daughter are. Is that what she's saying?
They're planning on going to that church, so now should she leave?
You say no. No, I say she stays there and gets above the resentment and not let that control her life.
So you're saying that if she left, it'd be just like letting other people have control of her? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And go to a different church.
If you don't deal with the bitterness, that's going to be a negative in your life, whichever way you go. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that, listen to this, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What does forgiveness mean to you?
Unforgiveness is a form of pride, and forgiveness is not paying back what they did to you.
If you had truly forgiven your ex-husband, what would that really look like?
That I could smile at him and say hello.
Hmm.
When actually I feel like saying, well, you slick little turkey. I feel like I was just set up. And he blames me for not letting him have the kids when he wasn't there every other weekend to pick them up. He didn't take the kids very much at all.
Earlier, you were saying that you wondered if you were really saved.
Yeah.
This is Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Is there a possibility? You wanted to be saved because I'm hearing that you did pray a prayer.
Okay, she's prayed several times, she said. And yet, she's still unsure, right? There's not a security within her. Does praying for salvation guarantee salvation?
No.
A prayer could yield salvation, but it may not. So you've got to find out what is the situation. Obviously, she's thinking about that slick little turkey. Has she forgiven him?
And I know you said you cried, but is it possible that you held on to unforgiveness? Therefore, an issue in salvation is you receive the Lord. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, that means he's your master, ruler, owner, that you are yielded to him. But if you don't yield what was done against you, you've not yielded yourself to truly forgive your husband, that can actually be a block to salvation. Unforgiveness can be a block to salvation because the scripture says if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you have truly forgiven your ex-husband?
A lot of me wants to say yes, but a lot of me holds on to that.
Let me explain some aspects of forgiveness that I hope would be enlightening. When you forgive someone, you release that person. The word forgive, from a biblical standpoint, means to lift off, to send away. You're not going to hold on to the injustice.
And he won't admit to it.
Okay, that makes it harder than there's not been any taking responsibility for his irresponsibility. And so you have all these bullets that you could use on him. Right now they just might be in your six shooter. What I don't want is for you to be in bondage to unforgiveness.
Yeah,
because you're the one who stays imprisoned, right?
That's why I thought maybe I should just leave the church.
Okay, we're back to the church again. Her solution that she's come up with is to leave. What do you think is the real solution?
Deal with her heart.
To deal with her heart, to stay and not play the victim role. When we have a victim mentality, it's like we are powerless. We feel powerless because that's the concept of victimization. Now, it's true, he was deceptive. And she may not have been able to see it at all. So at times we are victimized by others, but we don't have to stay victims. We shouldn't give into a victim mentality.
Is it true that sometimes we do want to stay as a victim because that we hope because we are the victim, so they are guilty and kind of like holding on to it?
Interesting. Yes, that certainly can be the case. Because it's playing poor, pitiful Pearl. I'm poor, pitiful Pearl. As opposed to saying, you know, this is not a healthy dynamic. Instead, I need to take responsibility for my life. I need to not be controlled by someone else. Even if I'm living in the same proximity, even if I'm in the same home, I'm still an individual person. And I need to be, first and foremost, the Lord's. And not let somebody else control me. If you stay with a victim mentality, then it's just Once a victim, always a victim. It's once powerless, always powerless. No, you are not powerless. When you come into a relationship with Christ, especially, you have the power of God on the inside of you.
Better, instead, to deal with what is agitating you on the inside so that you would be able to have peace anytime that you see either of them. And then you can choose whether God is leading you to change churches for another reason. The solution isn't running away from that which causes you bitterness. The issue is to deal with what is causing you bitterness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the other person has changed and therefore you're able to forgive. Forgiveness is totally one way. Imagine from your collarbone a hook sticking out there, and on it is all this past pain, the neglect that you felt, isolation, manipulation, feeling used. Do you want that past pain to be hooked to you?
Well, I don't.
Okay. It's taking all of that past and you put all on God's hook. See, it's not letting them off the hook. It's taking them off of your hook and releasing them to God. And then he knows how to deal with them. The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. So,
but he's another Christian. He wouldn't be persecuting me, would he?
Do you think the emotions that you have felt have persecuted you?
I never looked at it that way.
Every time I see a person who's hurt me, if I will consistently pray for that person that he or she will allow the Lord to meet their deepest inner needs, it ends up freeing me from bitterness.
You've got two ways to go here. Does she need to be led in a salvation prayer, or does she need to be led to forgive her husband, her ex-husband?
Forgive first.
Forgive. Because she could still be holding on to unforgiveness. Okay.
Okay.
And I release it into his hands, and I put the person on God's hook. Would you be willing to do that now, to release both of them to the Lord, to truly do what's necessary to forgive them?
Yes, because I want the Lord in my life so bad.
That's great. That's great.
I will do anything to have Jesus in my life.
The Lord is so pleased with your willingness. Just pray after me, okay?
Yes.
God, I want to do what's right in your sight.
God, I want to do what is right in your sight.
You know the pain that I have experienced.
You know the pain that I have experienced.
I don't want to be a bitter woman.
I don't want to be a bitter woman. I need to learn how to forgive. Thank you that you are the God of forgiveness. And I want to be godly. Right now I am praying for my ex-husband. Obviously there was a need in his life. And I ask you to work in his heart, that he would turn to you, God, as the true need meter. You know the pain of rejection that I felt. I release that into your hands. You know the manipulation I experienced. I release that into your hands. And all of the offenses that occurred towards me. And I take my ex-husband off of my hook, and I release him onto your hook. And the woman that he married, I likewise release her from me. And I pray that both of them would turn fully to you and allow you to meet their deepest inner needs. In Christ's name, I pray this prayer. Amen. Could I ask you a question? Was this had a lot to do with my doubting my salvation?
I think there's a direct correlation. I want us to truly pray and now yield your whole self to him, because now you're not holding on to unforgiveness. Pray with me. God, I need true salvation.
God, I need true salvation.
I admit to you that I've sinned.
I admit to you all of my sins, and I need to be totally set free. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please come into my life right now. I'm not holding on to anything, especially unforgiveness. In Christ's name, I pray this prayer. Amen.
By the way, I think it's very helpful to mention as many specifics that the other person mentions, the manipulation that she felt, the betrayal, all the specifics. Is it absolutely necessary? No, but it's just helping get that full release. We have these balancing scales here. There's an issue of blame. I could blame my father for all these things that he did wrong. And, of course, he was 98% wrong, and I just was 2% wrong, and so my part wasn't any big deal. Later on, I began to realize I had much more than 2%. My attitude, you know, I had an ungrateful spirit, et cetera. But the truth is, as long as I could blame him, I didn't feel guilty about my 2%. But also, he saw my attitude. He didn't feel guilty about my wrong attitude. He just went on as usual. There was a point in time where I was led by God to go and ask forgiveness. It dawned on me, I'd never thanked him for a roof over my head. I'd never thanked him for food on the table. I'd never thanked him for books for my education. And those three things were in my mind. And I planned one day to go to him, and I did go to him. It wasn't convenient. I could tell. It just wouldn't be the right day. So next day, same thing. He had a paper. He was reading the paper after breakfast, and his glasses were down on his nose. And I said, Dad, I'd like to talk with you. I've come to realize that I have been an ungrateful daughter. Would you please forgive me? I've never thanked you for the food on the table and a shelter over my head and books for school. Would you forgive me? He looked at me. I just looked. And then he said, the pleasure is all mine. And then he went back to his paper. I thought, the pleasure is all mine. I thought, it just sounded so stiff and foreign. And he was kind of stiff and foreign anyway. He wasn't the kind you could sit on his lap or anything like that. But, you know, I didn't expect anything in return. I just knew I needed to do what I needed to do. I didn't really pay much attention to it. But later on, I kind of noticed for the first time, there seemed to be a sense of respect. It really surprised me. I want you to think about it this way. If I am being blamed for my wrong attitude here, and I go and I say, Dad, would you forgive me? I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I walked away, by the way, with a light spirit. I felt a whole lot lighter. It's like taking rocks off the scale. Now, what has just happened to the scale on the other side? In other words, instead of him looking at my fault and balancing the scale, now God can use that, my asking forgiveness in the right spirit, to convict him of his wrong. Sometimes we can be the block to another person being right with God because we're so busy opposing that person, and instead God wants to do work within that other person's life, and yet we're busy being vengeful and spiteful or bitter or hanging on to our rights. Why not give that person over to the Lord, and for our area of wrong, whatever it is, we ask forgiveness. As long as he could blame me for my wrong attitude, he's not going to look at his. I knew that my dad would never change. In fact, I used to say this. I would lay down before a Mack truck to guarantee you that he will not change. Meaning, I would be willing to lie in the middle of the street and have a Mack truck run over me. I mean, I would be so sure he would never change. 6 months before he died, for the first time, he was willing to pray a prayer, a salvation prayer. Afterwards, I said, Mother, do you think that was real? She said, he has never allowed anyone to pray that prayer before with him. Never allowed anyone to talk with him about giving his life to the Lord. She said, yes, I think it was real. Don't fix people in cement. Don't assume that a person will never change. Don't make assumptions that you would never be used in that other person's life. I will tell you, there are times when I would have thought there's no way God will ever use me in that person's life, when instead I'm the one who's been so surprised. As long as we're looking at the scale of justice, I have this little plaque that I keep on my Welch dresser. To err is human. To blame it on someone else is more human. In truth, God wants us to get rid of the blame game. Stop the blame game. Instead, look beyond the fault and see the need and say, God, is there any way you want to use me to be a part of meeting that need? If so, I'm available. If so, use me in whatever way possible. Heavenly Father, I'm so aware that there could be someone right now just struggling, saying, I just don't think I can forgive. How? It's just been too much. Thank you that you can look at us and agree that at times it is too much, and that's when you take over. Thank you that in your strength, through your power, we can forgive. Not forget, but we can forgive. We can take that person off of our emotional hook and put that person onto your hook. We can trust you to deal with that person in your own way, in your own time. And as a result, we can be set free. Thank you for so great a gift you've given us by forgiving us, by offering forgiveness throughout eternity, where you remember our sin no more. Thank you that we can have the empowerment of Christ inside us to do what we can't do in the natural, and that we can live in his supernatural grace and ability, and we can be all that you created us to be for the glory of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.